Sermon. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for so many things you've already blessed us with this day, and now the blessed opportunity to be able to get into your word as we study these prophecies that were fulfilled so intricately. It's amazing. It helps build our trust and faith in you, and help us now as we get into your word to be able to build that faith even stronger and stronger. Let all of it bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. In our fulfilled prophecies about Jesus, we've got a few left here. We'll once again turn to Isaiah 53. We see one here in reference to being buried with the rich or with the wicked. In Isaiah 53, one verse here, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We see this fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 57. When even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. We also see this in Luke chapter 23. We'll look at that and see how it's recorded there in the fulfillment of these. In Luke chapter 23, pick it up in verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. Talking about the counsel of the priest that decided to do their deed and have the Lord arrested and crucified. But as it continues, he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. All right, let's look at one more account on this one. In John chapter 19, we see here in verse 38 how John has this recorded. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand, or close by. So we see it prophesied all the way over in Isaiah. And we see it recorded in three places, the fulfillment of his burial and being connected there with the rich man of Joseph of Arimathea. All right, let's look at one here that is very important and very critical to us, of course, is his resurrection. And that is a glimpse of the prophecy that we see over in Psalm 16. In verse 10, and in Psalm 16, verse 10, we read, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." All right, let's look at this a little bit and some detail on this. When you see the word hell in the Old Testament, the word is Sheol. And Sheol is the place of the dead. And in the Old Testament times, prior to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and the fulfilled, finished work of Jesus Christ, there was a place for the righteous dead, which was in the earth, like in hell, where there's two chambers. Sheol was known for that, or I should say it was known as Sheol of the Old Testament times. Righteous dead and unrighteous dead. There was a great gulf between the two. Now, when Jesus arose and ascended to the Father, he took that area of confinement, or I should say of temporary residence for those that are the righteous dead, with him up into paradise. It was once known as Abraham's bosom, then it became known as paradise, which is up with the Lord. And that's the reference here to leave him in that place. And also that the Holy One, suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, is a reference to the resurrection as well. Not just the taking of Sheol up to paradise, but the physical body did not corrupt. In this, the word corruption means to decay right away. So, thine Holy One, capitalized in the King James Version, to see corruption. And his body did not rot away and decay in a grave somewhere. He received his glorified body and rose and ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator. And if you will, look over in Matthew. We see here where the Lord himself prophesied about his resurrection in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Over in 17, Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. Back it up to 22. In Matthew chapter 17, and verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, speaking about the disciples, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And on over in chapter 20 of Matthew, in verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and a Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Over and over we see this. He told them over and over. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, another place where he prophesied it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. On over in chapter 10 of Mark, in verse 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And you also see this prophesied in Luke chapter 9 and chapter 18. Also the repeat of what we see in Matthew and in Mark. So he clearly taught them, clearly told them, clearly prophesied to them that he would be crucified and raised the third day. And let's look at the fulfillment of this. Not too much longer after he was prophesying this to them, it occurred. And we can look at Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now this is the sepulcher where Jesus is buried. at this point in the timeline here. He's been crucified and he's been buried, and this is the third day after his burial. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. All right, let's look at another account of this in Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They believed not, even though we just read how many times he told them what he was going to do, that he was going to raise that third day. Over and over he told them that. But yet, they hadn't received it. They hadn't truly heard it. They hadn't accepted it. And they didn't believe it. Even when a witness come and told them that he was risen, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So we got to take it easy on them a little bit, you might say. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. More witnesses, yet still they didn't believe it. Over and over we see the account, more and more witnesses. Let's look at one more over in John, and then let's look at one over in Corinthians. But in John chapter 20, in verse 1, we see here once again the account, early in the morning. John chapter 20, in verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to other disciple, which was John, who Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place of itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. We had read here where they were told that over and over, and here we see they didn't know it yet. This is a reference to they hadn't really understood it. They hadn't received it. As we see out in the world, when they hear the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they don't know it, even though they hear it over and over. They don't know it until they receive it into their heart. Then they truly know it. Just as all of us that have received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we know He raised from the dead because He now dwells in us. We know it for a fact. We know it 100% sure. But even they at that time, seeing signs and yet did not believe. But once they seen Him appear to them, then they started believing. It took a lot more, even for Thomas. He had to physically put his hand into the wounds, as we read earlier in some of the prophecies. But when they received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that's when their belief really kicked in. As we that have trusted in Jesus Christ have so much more insight in the truth, because the Spirit of truth comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, blessing given to us by God. Let's look at one more account. You can continue reading this in John and see more of the details that he has recorded. But let's move on to one in 1 Corinthians. This is a very interesting one because it talks about some of his appearance before others after his resurrection and the number of witnesses in just one occurrence of his resurrection and appearance after his resurrection, because after he rose from the grave, he stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching before he ascended to the Father. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can see here one of the accounts recorded by Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture," fulfilled prophecy, in other words, "and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures," just like it was prophesied, "and that He was seen of Cephas," another name for Peter, "then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." The present being the time when this was written. So we see the accounts. We see the references. We see the record. The witnesses. Hundreds of witnesses of Jesus Christ risen. And over in Psalm 68, in Psalm 68, in verse 18, we see another prophecy here. "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Ascended on high, ascended up to heaven. That's the one they connect with the fulfilled prophecies that we see recorded over in Mark chapter 16. Over in Mark chapter 16, verse 19 here. We'll read one verse here, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 24. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 19, we see here where it says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them," this is the account that we see also in Acts chapter 1, which we will get to. "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. And over in Luke chapter 24, or in verse 50, we see it recorded. "And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1, the most details of this ascension. We are approaching Ascension Day, be here shortly, and that is 40 days after Easter. And this is the event taking place right here. This is unfolding 40 days after Easter in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he was, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I love that part of it there. By many infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now that's a bit of prophecy about what is to come. Then returned they into Jerusalem for the mount called Olivet, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And they stayed together and they prayed and they studied. And that 10 days later was Pentecost. Penta being 50, that's 50 days after Easter. That's why they call it Pentecost. And that's when they received the Holy Ghost. The blessing of the Holy Ghost comes down upon them, prophesied and fulfilled. All the details concerning the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, prophesied as many as thousands of years prior to it being fulfilled, and being fulfilled in intricate detail, which gives us the awesome assurance and confidence in knowing that when he tells us he's going to do something, he's going to do it exactly like he says he's going to do it. When? We're not sure. But we can look around and see the times and know that we need to get ready, because it could be at any moment. So that we can look forward to the things that he has prophesied for us, such as what he prophesied in John chapter 14. In verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's awesome to look forward to. With confidence. When we study the Word of God and see how accurate is, how reliable it is, how trustworthy it is. And we see these prophecies of what we have to look forward to for eternity. It's awesome because we can look forward to that day when He comes back and gets us again, when He receives us to Himself. If we leave this realm before He comes back, then we will come with Him and receive our glorified bodies, as He tells us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see how He tells us about this in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or proceed. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So much to look forward to. And when we see the other prophecies, when we study the prophecies of the book of Revelation, the things that this world is facing, and we see the prophecies of what we are facing for eternity, we ought to really get excited about it. Because when we know, we are looking forward to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what we have to look forward to. Fulfilled prophecy. All those that have trusted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful and is so true. And thank you so much for the comfort that we can receive when we study your word, knowing what you have done for us and knowing what you plan to do for us for eternity, way, way more than we ever deserved. We thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. Help us to share that with others as well. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.